You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
How can I help you? You're looking at me like something's going to happen.
I'll start. That was a hell of an effort last night by your Toronto Raptors.
I thought the Raptors played a spectacular game last night.
They did.
I think there is a positive mojo in the city today.
They should have one.
We've got ourselves a series officially. Basically, everything is cleared out now. It's a best of three, and let's see what we got.
Charles Barkley wanted it.
Barkley called the guarantee before the game.
Yeah.
And the TNT crew was there post-game.
He was enjoying himself.
Everyone's having a great time. By all accounts, I wasn't in the building last night. I was speaking with multiple people that were, and they said it was electric down at Scotiabank last night. And you could feel it. You could feel it through TV last night watching that game at home. You could feel that the crowd was in a really good mood.
Well, you see how your team starts. Like, they started off, and like they were in complete control of that game, really.
All night.
I didn't feel like they were getting in trouble. It was because everyone was going.
Do you think it's the moment? Do you think it's the 8:30 tip-off? You know, we had this conversation yesterday, the idea of getting a bit of a pregame in for people midweek.
Yeah. Well, 5
Let
o'clock.
Get oiled up.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Maybe the Leafs need to start at 8:30.
How would you feel about across-the-board 8:30 starts for hockey and basketball?
I think fans would like it.
I'm honest with you. The only reason I'm a no guy is selfishly
working.
But let's pretend like we don't have to do a panel afterwards. Let's talk as fans.
I think 8 o'clock is probably the perfect time. Would be my I think 8 is enough to, if you get home from work 5:36, you can turn it around, you can get down to a bar, have a couple drinks, and get down to the rink, stadium, you name it. I think 8 o'clock would be the optimal. Isn't that prime time, or is 9 nowadays?
I don't know. It always moves a little bit. I think technically 9 is prime time. NBA Finals, it's always at 9 o'clock. It's a 9 o'clock start.
People on the couches, they're either in for the night or out for the night.
Right.
8 is in between if you're out for dinner or something
Although there's something, you do like the idea that the bigger games get a bigger platform. The bigger games are the ones that get prime time. If every single game is at 8 o'clock, does it take something away from the Eastern Conference Final and the NBA Finals and the Cup Final? You know what I'm saying? If every game is at the exact same time.
But then you plan your life around it, too, though. If none of these nonsense 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock, noon starts, just to, get around things. Now, if you're going up against, the Derby or Game of Thrones or whatever, I get it, but if you knew that every game was going to be played at that time, you plan your life around it.
Well,
if you're a fan or a player.
The NFL has that because you either play at 1, 4, or 8:30.
Right.
And even on the West Coast, again, it's 1 o'clock local time.
Right.
So if you're playing a 1 o'clock game and the large majority of your games are going to be at 1 o'clock local time, whether you're on the East Coast or on the West Coast, I guess if you're Central Time, it's noon.
Yeah,
I got to be in a parking lot at 6 a.m.
Routine.
Beer's up at 6:30, and then the barbecue starting at 7, and we're going to go into the stadium around noon, kick off at 1, and that's my day every single time, 8 times a year for eight
home
games.
When you put it that way, 8 times, I can do that 8 times.
Well, here,
I don't even think I'd want to do it 8. Couple.
Let me ask you this. The Leafs play that 3 o'clock game on a Sunday. That was game 6.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel a little bit off kilter that day? Now, I know that was Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was a holiday. It wasn't Thanksgiving. It was Easter.
Easter. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Easter.
It felt a little bit different, for sure.
Well, the Leafs never play at that time.
Never play in the afternoon.
That's something that the Leafs have the luxury of, is because they're always technically in prime time, they're not slugging out a noon start for ratings.
Never happens.
They're playing late night. Now, NBC or whoever got control of that start, and that changed. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the reason why they lost, anything like that, but that was a little bit different, and I wonder if Leaf fans were, they were still revved up. Morgan Riley scored first. Were you in the building?
I was not in the building
for
that game.
Owen and I were in the building, and it was pretty rocking for a Sunday at 3 o'clock, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think it also comes down to the circumstance.
Correct.
That's the truth. When your team is playing in a big game, it could be 3 in the morning and you're probably going to be fired up.
Yeah.
Like you can have the same tip off or same puck drop for a big game in an Eastern Conference final as you would, you know, fifth game of the season back in October, but what you can't replicate is what's at stake.
Right.
So, as much as I do think 8:30 tip off, weather's nice, patios are open a little bit, people are feeling it. The fact that the Raptors had to have that win, it was a fun game, it was a good start. I mean, Milwaukee showed up early. Like, it's not like the Raptors blew the doors off them in the first quarter.
But you could feel like, I thought that they were into it. You could
absolutely
tell, like, and their depth was into it. Like, Kawhi didn't have to steal that game last night.
That's probably the biggest storyline. I mean, there's a lot of different things that came out of the game. But, you know, we all said yesterday, if Kawhi isn't dominating, basically, they could be in big trouble. There's a couple of different angles to take on that. One, yes, Kawhi did not have a great game, but he wasn't awful. It's not like Kawhi didn't supply any productivity.
That should be a massive plus and something they're looking forward to. That they can beat that team if he's not...
Right, but I think what also came with that is Giannis faded as the game went on. Like, Giannis had a quality first quarter. I felt like, you know, his numbers, again, you look at them and they're not porous. Like, they're fine. But I felt like as the game went on, Giannis kind of faded into the background so you could afford Kawhi to do the same thing.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, it's a really good deep team against a really good deep team, but both teams lacking that secondary superstar.
Right.
Because neither team has it. Both teams have MVP caliber, like top five players in the world,
right,
and then a bunch of really good players.
Good supporting staff.
So Kawhi and Giannis kind of canceled each other out last night, and the Raptors were like, all right, we can take over your depth, and that's what they did last night.
But at what point, like, I thought in the third they had the game won.
Yeah, but I think so.
Like,
yeah,
they,
by
they
the
were,
third quarter, like, they kept hitting shots. Like,
yeah,
that
they
was
were
a big
stretching
part of
it out,
night.
And I kept thinking, like, you know, this isn't one where I think Milwaukee comes back from down 15. Like,
well,
I didn't,
you know,
sense
what?
That.
It was the same script as game one, but they rewrote the ending.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it kind of felt like to me. Game one, through three quarters, the Raptors had control. They were playing well. They had a lead.
6-point lead?
They had a 7-point lead going into the fourth quarter in game one. I'm not sure what the lead was going into the fourth last night. But it had a similar kind of vibe to it and rhythm to it, where the Raptors were in control. You felt like they were hitting shots.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter in game one, they went cold.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter last night, they stayed hot. Milwaukee just said, check, please, we're out of here.
You know it's a blowout when you're trying to figure out who the hell's on the court.
Oh, yeah. They let
some
all...
Some dudes out there.
Yeah, like, I'm like...
I've never seen that guy.
Well, I saw Jeremy Lin, which I was like, it's, you know, he's out there with 2 minutes left flying around.
Yeah. When Jeremy Lin is making an appearance, someone's getting smoked.
Right. Like, that's the one takeaway I had from that last, like, 5-6 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to go to the internet here and take a look at the depth roster.
Right.
Because you can, you know, there were some players that I wasn't recognizing, especially from Milwaukee.
I think both coaches were kind of looking at each other saying, all right, when are we going to decide that this one's over?
Well, I thought Kawhi kind of stayed in a little too long. Like, I kept thinking, didn't he get... Like, 4 minutes
He came
left.
Out with, yeah, just under 4 minutes
yeah,
last
I
night.
Yeah, I was like, you probably had enough runway there to get him out at 6, 7, 8 minutes left in the game.
I guess he had a lot of rest.
Yeah.
You know, like, he had a lot of rest last night. The fact that Kawhi and Kyle Lowry both played 34 minutes and Pascal Siakam only played 23 and they won by 20.
That was a good night.
It's a pretty incredible night for the Raptors.
Yeah.
And now you got to get one on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to find a way to win one in Milwaukee.
I got to think it's the next one.
You don't want to try a game seven, eh?
Or do you think that game seven is the old coin flip and it's just maybe nerves, or you would take your chance in a game? I say the next one. I don't like the idea of winning a game seven in their barn.
I don't think
that's just kind of stating the obvious.
Right, based on what we've seen in this series alone.
Yeah.
If you're on home court, you're probably going to win that game. The home team's 4-0 right now.
And you're running out of runway, right? You only got one more at home.
Yeah. I feel good about the Raptors in game six at home, for sure. But that's why I think Milwaukee is still a slight favorite because of home court advantage.
Yeah, the 2-1.
Yeah, because of what we've seen.
Yeah, that's fair.
Through 4 games. They're still a slight favorite.
But let's see.
It's 2-2.
Let's see. I mean, you know, confidence is a very interesting thing, because I know You talk about momentum from game to game. It may not show up as much, or if at all, but confidence shows up. And to me, if the Raptors, for lack of better words, the bottom of their roster or their depth, as we were talking about, are feeling good about their game, that's something. It doesn't matter where they're playing. If Van Fleet, Powell, you know, players like that show up.
Well, that was the story of the night, I think, last night, was the fact that Van Fleet, Powell, and Ibaka all made like major impacts on the game.
Yeah.
Like Ibaka came off the bench, the first double-double off the bench since Kevin Willis in 01. I saw that stat last night.
Yeah.
And he was a big piece of the puzzle last night. Van Fleet hit shots, you know, and...
But that's what you needed. Like you've been talking about. Jack said that on our show. Was it yesterday or the day before? You said if Kawhi doesn't have a game, who has to step up? And he said, it's plural.
Right. You need heroes. That's who it was. You need multiple guys. Like Lowry had another very solid night last night. Gasol was very good defensively in particular. But really, I think it was the fact that Van Fleet, Powell, and Ibaka showed up and gave them big minutes and gave them big production and outperformed
the
bench and the depth players in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to need that again two more times. You're going to need it two more times because I expect Kawhi to play better tomorrow night, be more productive offensively, and I think Giannis will likely step up. But I will say this. Giannis is in a very unique position.
Right.
This is a guy who has been crowned this year. Everything has gone perfectly for him. Perfectly. He's probably going to win the MVP. First time all year he's being challenged. Like they are sending help at him the second he touches the ball. They're double-teaming him. They're forcing him to take shots that he doesn't want to take.
Yeah.
His agent came out and tweeted today about Drake. Now, I believe, my understanding is, since he tweeted this out, he's actually gone on to delete the tweet. And I think I know why he's deleted the tweet. His director works for Octagon Basketball Europe. And Giannis's agent tweeted out, quote, "Imagine a gig and an athlete in VIP seats, right next to the band, stands up on the stage just to show off during the entire game, knowing cameras are on him, occasionally even massaging the singer. Security and him both allow it. I've never seen anything as disrespectful as this before." So again, I believe he has since deleted that tweet. But here's why I think this looks bad on Giannis.
Because he's whining about it.
Exactly. Which maybe he hasn't, but this leads me to believe he's talking to his agent saying Drake's driving me nuts, and it's a joke that they let him do this stuff.
He's driving all of us.
Well,
nuts,
you know that he probably called him and said, "Delete that tweet for crying out loud."
Yeah, that's the thing.
Why
like,
would you send that signal out that I'm rattled or whatever?
Exactly.
If he hasn't done it, like we've seen this, like
client relationship like, should be: you never tweet anything about me unless I tell you to.
Exactly. Alan Walsh is an agent for many NHL players. He tweets all the time, and you know, I can't imagine he gets the go-ahead from his clients, but if there's a tweet like that that really takes a shot at a certain situation, and it hasn't been run through Giannis or run through the player, I'd be pissed because it shines a light on me.
I think it makes him look weak.
It makes him look rattled.
He's playing like he's rattled, and it makes him look... So you can say whatever you want about Drake.
Right.
But... this would lead me to believe he's complaining to his agent that this guy is getting carte blanche, which he is. I mean, Drake's literally giving the head coach a shoulder rub during the game last night.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that one before.
Creepy. It's a bad look.
It's a new move.
I'm not gonna.
I would
tee
have
off
had a
Drake
private
today.
Convo saying like, be excited, but the massage.
The thing is like it's at what line is it too much? Like at what point? Could you imagine if a referee decides to tee him up? Like, what if it's a crucial game and a referee's like, "I've had enough of this clown at the side on the sidelines running on the court."
Well, I don't know how that would. I don't know how that works. Like,
how would that work? Like, can he be thrown out? I guess he
could. Yes, he can.
But he's an ambassador for the Raptors, but not or the league. He's
no, for the Raptors, but it's a totally, you know, contrived position. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
I don't believe they're paying him anything, although they might be paying him in diamond-encrusted jackets.
Sounds like that. I mean, that's
They handed him an $800,000 sports coat last night.
They should have just handed him the mascot head.
I'm not a fan of that. I mean, $800,000 for a guy like that? How about donate $800,000 to youth basketball? Like, come on. As if this guy needs that jacket.
Yeah, Drake, he could probably... I mean
everybody always says that you could have spent this here, could have spent that there. But in this particular situation, does Drake need an $800,000 jacket for sitting on the sidelines and yelling at people and being a fan? Sorry, I'm not buying that one.
Well,
I didn't, you know, I mean, I wanted to come in and just, let's just focus on that. I thought it was
800
fantastic.
Grand?
Listen, yeah. I don't know. I guess MLSC paid for it. It's $800,000.
That's ridiculous.
Now,
I'm an ambassador for the Leafs. Where's my jacket?
Well, you got an alumni jacket. What's that worth?
Yeah. What if it was covered in diamonds?
What do you think your alumni jacket is worth?
To me, priceless.
It's priceless.
Right, but if you put it on, you know, eBay or something.
$75.
No, I think it's worth a lot more. Way more than that.
Somebody would want to wear that.
Plus, this show alone has made that alumni jacket, I think, one of the most sought-after jackets.
Well, you can go get it.
Right,
it's probably in the trunk of his car.
It's not
right
like
now.
Somebody. It's not like it's made out of. It's a jacket.
I know, but it's an alumni jacket. Yeah. It's got the alumni patch and the crest, and it's yours. I would say in the city right now, Drake's new jacket is number one. Your alumni jacket is number two.
Yeah.
In terms of what people would be seeking out right now.
You think it's? Is it in your trunk?
No, the trunk is clean.
Here's the thing, though, Drake. I would assume, I tried to find out how much money he had to pay for the naming rights for the practice facility, but he's pumped some money into the company.
Right.
They clearly love what Drake represents.
Clearly, yeah, obviously, because if they had a problem with it, they'd tell him to sit down.
And you know what? If him pissing off Giannis...
It's a great thing. Why would you complain if you're a Raptor fan?
Well, I get it. I just think the jacket's a little excessive. But if him getting in a star player of the opposition in the semifinals... Helps get them into the finals
because
he's going to Milwaukee, too.
I think he has zero effect on Giannis.
I don't know.
I think
man.
He looks over and goes, that guy's embarrassing himself. Do you think Spike Lee got under people's skin? They looked at him and be like, you're a little troll. And they're doing that to Drake, too. I think 50% are looking
Giannis
at that guy.
Looks shook. Now, I think it's more because the way the defense is playing
right.
him. But this agent commentary is embarrassing. Like, he may actually not like
What's
Drake.
What's more embarrassing, Drake's antics or the agent's comments?
I think the agent's comments.
Really? Drake's
yes.
windmill when Giannis is shooting a free throw?
Well, that's more embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
You throw up... He bricked one. He threw up an air ball.
Okay, but
this guy's the MVP, and he's air balling free throws.
He didn't do it because Drake was acting like a jackass
in the background.
Of course not.
Of course not. But Drake's just reacting to it. I do think that's embarrassing, though. If you're Giannis, you're air balling free throws in Game 4 of the Eastern Final.
Yeah.
That's a bad look for him.
It is.
Bad look. But here's my personal opinion on the way the Raptors feel about Drake. And what happened last night with Nick Nurse and the shoulder rub.
Right.
I think Drake comes with the gig. And I honestly believe that if Nick Nurse went to Masai Ujiri and said, hey, tell him never to do that again, they'd say, no, we're not telling him to do anything.
I get you.
I think he has carte blanche to do anything he wants.
I guarantee
and I think
you, if you caught some of these players in a canon moment, they'd be like, this guy's too much.
Maybe.
I think he's tricked himself into thinking...
That he's...
If you've ever watched a Ryder Cup and you see guys like Michael Jordan walking around with all the gear, I think they tricked themselves into thinking they're an assistant coach. I'm not kidding. Like, have you ever seen MJ at the Ryder Cups where he's got all the team garb on and it's like...
Yeah, I think Drake really does believe he's having an impact on everything.
I think he thinks he's an assistant coach or a part of the coaching staff.
Yeah, but they just handed him an $800,000 jacket before the game.
Yeah, they're loving it.
On social media today, they're sending out more pics of Drake than their own players. They love what Drake represents. They love it. They support it. They promote it. And I honestly believe if Nick Nurse went to them and said, tell him to never touch me again, they'd say, there's the door if you want. I honestly think...
I don't think so.
I really do. I think they'd
I think
be like, we're not telling Drake to do anything.
If Kawhi went to him and said, tell that guy to sit down when we're playing, we're trying to focus, and he's running around the court like an idiot.
Not to say
I
that we're
you,
above anybody else.
You think
else.
Masai would be like, no, Drake is too important.
I don't know about Kawhi necessarily.
So you don't think the coach would be...
I don't. I really don't.
You think Drake is more important than the coach of the team?
I didn't say he's more important. I said I believe they love what he does. And I believe they love what he represents. And right. I believe they would talk to Nick Nurse and say, sorry, dude, all he did was grab your shoulders. Deal right. with it. We're not telling him to do anything.
I just
Because we love
just...
the fact that he shows up and he represents the city. And we're giving him $800,000 jackets.
Yeah.
And he's all over our social media account.
Yeah, and it's
they
not like we're above anybody else, but the average person, that they're eating it up. They're like, did you see Drake?
Right.
He
yeah.
loves the raps. He's the biggest fan. He's battling their best player.
And let's have some perspective here.
Right.
Celebrities get treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
If Beyonce walked across the court during a game, people would be like, unbelievable.
Right.
Oh, that Beyonce, she's the greatest. You think she'd get flung out of there? She could literally walk across the court during the game.
You think so?
And I think they'd be like, Beyonce, can you just go back to your seat? You can go across the court again if you want.
Maybe there's a different
They're not going to fling her out.
Like,
if some pigeon grabbed the coach by the shoulders, the guy, you'd never see him again. But Drake isn't that.
It's just weird. Like, the agent's not wrong with the actual comment. Like, if Drake is on stage and Nick Nurse is standing behind him, rubbing his shoulders, going, you know, way to work. good tune there. Good beat.
Right.
Like... No, wouldn't he turn around and go, get the hell out of here?
He's not
like Nick
he's
Nurse
not
is trying to coach his team to a championship. And I know that Drake is a very passionate fan. I do respect that. But there's got to be a line. And I think there, you know, that line was really treaded last night. Maybe. I don't know. From a peripheral fan's perspective, I'm looking at it. I'm like, I don't know. It's weird.
I'll give you the shoulder rub. I can't figure that one out. I don't think that's the best look or the best idea. Like, I get it. You're Drake, and you're in a different stratosphere than everybody else.
Fired up.
Popovich,
I get
like,
it.
What would Popovich have done there?
I don't know.
He probably would have looked at him and said, dude, don't ever do that again.
Probably true.
But the crazy thing is again, we're talking about this guy.
Oh,
we're
man.
Talking about Drake instead of a great game played by the Raptors.
Well, I think they're all
Drake
intertwined.
Drake did nothing last night. No, he did not spark the team. The team didn't go, you know what, did you see Drake? Last night, that was amazing. That's why I played well.
And Drake got me going.
Like, maybe they listened to his music going out because he's a great songwriter. But, like, you know, I got to believe in a candid moment. If you, like, pulled that Danny Green aside and been like, what do you think of this? He'd be like, this is a circus.
Well, he might. But
maybe. I don't know.
Listen, he's playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you would like to believe that a fan, whoever it is, Drake or... a random person isn't going to affect the way you play. It shouldn't affect the way you play. And if he's representing your team, I would think you're probably like, hey, at least he's repping us as opposed to the other guys. You know,
I think there's a line. Like, I guess my question would be, where is the line where the league goes, this guy, you got to stay off the court?
I don't know.
Or this guy has to, like, I mean, there's probably, it wouldn't surprise me if one of the refs have probably said, like, you know, we got to be careful here.
Well, don't you think the NBA, though, loves being associated with Drake?
Absolutely.
Like, again, I think sometimes we lose sight because he's from here and we're in Toronto. This guy is massive.
Yeah.
Like, he is an A-plus superstar.
Yeah, but he acts like a donkey at the side of the court.
I hear you, but I'm telling you, man, I bet you other leagues would love to have... You don't think the NHL would love Drake to be in Boston for game one on Monday
Leafs
night?
Okay, the Leafs fans love it in...
Well, he's up in the luxury suite. Now it's because of the jinx more than anything else.
Well,
people goofing on
that. Okay, so if Drake...
You don't think the NHL would want Drake to be at every single cup final game?
If they put a seat on the bench, what do you think Mike Babcock would do if they allowed Drake to sit on the bench?
Well, he's not sitting on the bench, though,
He's damn near sitting on the bench in the Raptors game. He's in front of the... Like, I was sitting behind him...
I don't think anyone would care if Drake was at a hockey game. I don't... It's not the same. It's totally different.
Well, different sport, different...
Well, you don't have the access of a courtside seat.
Well, yeah, it's almost like he is so much a part of the event.
Yeah, like...
In a hockey game, he's just a guy in the crowd. Obviously, the most famous guy in the crowd, but it would not have any type of the same impact. None.
But you don't think the NHL would love to have...
Well, I think they love... They want A-plus. They want A-plus.
I think they would care.
Yeah,
why would you not want superstars to be affiliated
want
with
A-plus
you? Remember when the Kings were in the Cup Final? You couldn't get enough. Hey, Will Ferrell's here.
Yeah,
there's
Sylvester
Hanks.
Stallone,
they couldn't wait to show those
absolutely.
Guys. And the NHL.com had all the pictures of the celebrities showing up. They all want it.
I actually thought the broadcast did a pretty good job last night as far as, like, every cutaway wasn't to Drake. Like... Yeah, there was some because you want to see the fans in that, but they were cutting away to PK and Marner and Bailey.
Kadri
and
was there last
Kadri,
night.
Kadri, like there was
Urkel was there a couple nights ago.
I know.
Did you see Urkel?
Jaleel, yeah.
Urkel was there.
In Milwaukee or in Toronto?
No, in Toronto.
Oh,
he was in Toronto. Game three.
Yeah. No,
did I
great.
Do that?
Anyway, I kind of want to see Drake on the bench with Babcock.
I just,
the way Babcock's perceived in the city right now, it's not like he's got a lot of people loving and supporting him.
No, you're right. But like that's one thing. Like I in watching that game last night, I thought it was a great game. Yeah, you can respect the passion from Drake. I tease and
I got no problem with it, the passion.
But I think it does cross a line, and that's why when I came in and I asked you off air, I said, do you think at some point there's a line that could get him in trouble? Like if it's a close game and he runs on the court and he gets teed up and it, you know, or the
that
team
can't happen
teed,
if you have to control your own fans.
Like that's the one thing that would actually like make me lose
I'd like
my
to believe he isn't
it.
That. You know,
I don't know.
He's stupid, but
he's got a long leash there, right?
Like he does with the Raptors. Again, I think the Raptors, he could do anything.
Right.
Really, I do. I think the Raptors, and that's not me being a hot take guy on the radio.
Right.
I think they love what he brings their brand. I think they can't get enough of him.
Yeah.
They cannot get enough of him.
They
wish they're
allowing him
they
to
wish
do
there
it.
Were 19,000 Drakes in the house.
Yeah.
If they could honestly multiply Drake by 19,000, they'd kick everyone else out of the arena and they'd put him in every single seat.
Well, there wouldn't be.
I think they'd love to see that.
It'd just be cutaways to 19,000 Drakes.
That's right. That's a reasonable take, I think.
19,000 Drakes.
Rod Black was down there. Rod will join us. We'll get his take on the game, what actually happened during the game.
It was a great game.
And how he can carry that over to Game 5 tomorrow night. And Peter DeBoer had a comment last night that I think Mike Babcock is going to inject into his veins. We'll let you hear that. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray's coming up from the Worlds in about a half an hour. William Gretzky is leading the tournament in points.
Does that piss Leaf fans off?
I
get a sense
that
people...
I mean, obviously, it wasn't great for him this year. He makes a bunch of money. And in the Canadian market, if you don't perform... But can't you just look at it as a positive? He's playing well. Hopefully, this is what he needed. He didn't need to stop playing. He's gone over there. Everyone else is playing against the same competition, too. I think it's fantastic.
I personally don't think it makes a difference one way or the other in terms of what's going to happen next season.
Right.
Like, the tournament wraps up in a week, and then he's got 4.5 months off before he plays NHL games again. So William Nylander could have had 0 points. He could have had 45 points.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be a launching pad to him having a successful season next year.
I think
year.
Just mentally for him to discover that he is, in fact, a good player and that he can do it might be something just to trigger the brain going into the summer, into next season.
I think it puts pressure on him.
Well, yeah,
because I think now, you know, you got the contract was enough pressure, but now, okay, you keep lighting up the Worlds when all those players are over there.
But it's
let's
less
see
a
you
competition.
Do it here.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's something he's going to have to deal with. That's what the market, that's what the contract, and that's what being a professional athlete's all about.
But
for the people to say, oh, you know, he tanked it for the Leafs, and now he's playing against garbage, and he's lighting it up. Yeah. It's like, get over yourself. If he comes back and sucks again, then rip on the guy. But I don't know why you could be so mad that he's going over there and playing well.
Well, bigger,
I think it's good for the kid to do it.
It is, but bigger ice surface, not as physical, not as intense, lesser competition, no spotlight on him, you know, City of Toronto watch. I mean, City of Toronto's watching, but not in the
they're not connected
bowl.
To
he's
it.
Not, you know, that's not the NHL. There's NHL players there.
Right.
But there's nights where, like I say, they're playing Denmark and some lesser competition. He's putting up a 5 points against those teams.
Right.
Like, and he's having a fantastic tournament, and it is. I agree with you. I think it's good for him as the player, but it has no bearing on his season next year.
Absolutely
zero.
Yeah, and again, even if he had a horrible tournament, it doesn't mean he's going to have a horrible season next year.
No.
What you do at the World Hockey Championships, I don't believe has any bearing on what you're going to do 4 months later in the National Hockey League. But I think it's another example of whichever side of the coin you're on when it comes to the William Nylander narrative, this is going to enhance that opinion. If
right.
you love the guy and you love what he brings, even if you concede he didn't play well enough this year, and I don't see how anybody could have any different take than he simply underperformed as a Maple Leaf.
Right.
But you'll say,
there is
see,
no other take.
No, there isn't. This is the real guy. and this is the guy who's capable of putting up big numbers, and this is what I expect to bring. If you don't like him, you're going to say, of course, this is when he performs,
right,
when there's no body contact, and it's a bigger ice,
all the
and there's
things
no
I just
pressure.
Laid out. Yeah.
Exactly. So ultimately, you've made up your mind.
Yeah.
And you're going to use this as
I think he's a good player.
Ammo for your take.
I think he's a good player. I think, you know, two back-to-back 61-point seasons, like you, I think he's a 60 to 70-point guy. I don't think he's a 100-point guy. I've always believed that people think he's this special player. I think he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
Nikolaj Ehlers is a really good player in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You need to be a good player on a good team. And William Nylander came up short this year on expectations. And I actually think the expectations were a little bit, not unfair, but he held out and then he made a lot of money. So he was already working from...
He's moving uphill
behind
from
the
that standpoint.
Yeah, bullseye.
Raptors with a massive win last night. I mean, they really just laid a beating on Milwaukee. As the game went on, they got better and better, and Milwaukee started to fade. And it felt like a very electric building last night. A man that was in the house joins us now. Here's our buddy Rod Black. You've been in that building for a lot of big games, Leaf games, Raptor games, otherwise. How would you compare the electricity in the building last night to other experiences in the past?
Yeah, it was crazy. The only thing I guess I would compare it to, guys, is, you know, the night of the Kawhi shot and, you know, how loud and crazy it was. But last night, you know, the Kawhi game, I guess we can refer to it as that. That game, you know, the crowd built. I just thought the energy in the building was from the beginning, maybe even an hour beforehand. And I think maybe that late start had a few people a little more lubricated than usual. It was just like, it was insane. That Let's Go Raptors chant was haunting before tip-off.
Rod, what do you make of all, before we get to the actual game itself, what do you make of the Drake stuff? I mean, giving the coach a little shoulder rub, he's just constantly screaming. I know he's a extremely famous person, but what do you make of the whole deal? I know you're probably friends with the guy, you see him a lot, but what do you think of it?
Well, you know, I think it's, when it first all started, and I remember, and I thought, you know, you got to be really careful. I've seen the Gong Show in New York City with Spike Lee, right? And, again, you guys have seen it in other sports, and you got to be really careful with that stuff. Now, having said that, you know, I think there's good and bad to it. I mean, Drake has done an enormous amount with the recognition and awareness of the Raptors, I guess, around North America. I don't think it goes over too well in Milwaukee right now. But he does. He has a tendency to get a little too fired up on the sideline, and you know, I'm just wondering if it was you or me or anybody else who was jumping around like that. I'm sure a referee would say, "Hey, buddy, sit down." And he gets
or
close,
get out
or get out. Yeah, he gets close to the action. That's for sure. I thought it was kind of comical with the Nick Nurse thing last night. But again, Dwayne Casey kind of used to tolerate him. You remember the, you know, have his arms folded and then look over at him and, you know, give him the nod. It's probably at its tipping point, I would say, right now, guys. And, you know, remember last year, I think it was last year, when the same thing was happening, and then Drake had to, you know, kind of put a seatbelt on and buckle up a little bit. But the guy, I'll tell you what, one thing, it's undeniable. I mean, he loved this team and he loved this city. So I guess you have to take the good with the bad. But I thought it was a little over the top last night.
With Rod Black coming off the Raptors' big win last night, Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Giannis, I get the impression, like the Greek freak, he is really in the spotlight down in Milwaukee because he has had basically a flawless season. It's been perfect. He's been crowned. All of a sudden, he's the next coming of LeBron and Kobe, etc. And he hasn't really faced any adversity because Milwaukee has played so well all year, and they swept the first round. They took down Boston in 5. Now, all of a sudden, they're up against a formidable foe who are attacking him constantly. I think the Raptors' defensive prowess when it comes to Giannis and what he's trying to do has really been a turning point over the past couple of games. He's, you know, airballing free throws, airballing open three-pointers. His agent is popping off on Twitter about Drake. I don't think it's a good look for Giannis. And quite frankly, if I'm the Raptors, I wouldn't say this publicly, but I'd be feeling pretty good that this guy, you know, maybe is getting inside his own head.
Yeah, I think they've rattled his cage, and I think that was the MO after game two in particular. And I think we talked about it, you guys, you know, like, why is nobody knocking anybody down when they come through the paint. I'm sure you know, the Raptors and viewers and listeners were having, you know, flashbacks to game 2 last night early on when Giannis was, you know, Euro stepping around players and getting to the rim. But it was interesting. That start last night, you're going, oh, wow. And then Nick Nurse takes a really good timeout. Kyle goes off and, you know, he never was around the rim for the rest of the night. They got physical. They walled up. And you're right. And I think, you know, it goes back to what we, again, talked about earlier in the series is, you know, Hayes, those two guys beside you, they know what it's like to be in a pressure cooker. And if you've never had experience or if you've had experience, and I guess it, you know, I would say, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. And it, even if it's sports or theater or life or business, if you've never been there before, it is a different horizon. And I do believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo has not been there before at this time. And the pressure and the body parts start to shrink a little bit. And you start to think a little more. And I do believe one of the best moves for the Raptors in this series was to send that video of Giannis after game 1 and 2, where the Raptors were, you know, again, accusing him of traveling a lot, which, you know, again, a lot of NBA players do, but he does. You can see it. And I think that's also in his head. And I think he's a little hesitant now when he gets the ball. So all of those things combined, plus the no experience, plus the fact that, let's face it, you know, you look at the numbers. Giannis is not a great free throw shooter in the first place. Giannis is not a great shooter. Now, to take to the next level that he is going to be in the same, you know, conversation with LeBron and KD, and obviously he is with the MVP season, but you've got to knock those shots down. I mean, you've got to hit those shots. And, you know, I think he was 2 for 7 from the line in the previous game. So, you know, I think he's feeling it. I think you're right. I think if I was the Raptors, I'd just let him be right now and keep that cage rattled.
Roddy, I try to explain to Brian the intense pressure of being a pro athlete in those critical situations, but unless you've been there, you just can never understand it.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
Rod, you and I are supposed to stick together, man. I can see Leo and Sam, like, they're talking about their playing days.
Hey, listen, guys, when I was on the – I was once my biggest claim to fame, and I felt the pressure, man. I was in a spelling bee in grade 8, and this kid next to me was killing it. But, you know, I buckled down. I used some heavy breathing, and eventually – I was able to come through. But hey, until you've been, this old saying, experience is something you get only when you get it. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems that Giannis is feeling it right now.
As for the bench players that showed up for the Raptors last night, Van Fleet, Powell, Ibaka, who do you think is more likely to have that similar impact on the road tomorrow night?
Probably none of the above. It's been such a crazy series. It's been like one of those tennis matches you watch when, you know, teams hold serve and they go back and forth, and there's been more twists and turns and ups and downs, and it's a teeter-totter series. And you've talked to experts all day. You guys watch it. You see what you see. Everybody sees what they see. I go to the building every night. I ask my analysts, again, people who, you know, have played at the highest level. I say, well, what do you think? And they have no idea. And it's just that I think it has a lot to do with the three ball and the way it works, and defense the way it works. But I would say Norm Powell's feeling it right now. Remember, Norm Powell was a former Milwaukee Buck, and the insertion of him 2 years ago in game 4 was a brilliant move by Dwayne Casey. There was no doubt. And he sees the Bucks uniform and he lights up. And, you know, one of the things, there's a couple of good numbers, and he's 9-0 now. When he scores more than 15 points, 9-0, that's crazy. Serge Ibaka, double figures, 8-0. But I think one of the biggest things is last night, you guys, again, probably saw it. Kawhi Leonard didn't have his 30-point game, but Kawhi Leonard's impact on that game was enormous because he was moving the basketball.
Right.
And when he scores under 20 points, I think this is an unbelievable number. The Raptors, when he scores under 20 points, the Raptors are 10-1. And their only loss came back in January against Milwaukee. So, you know, I think they're a better ball team moving the basketball when he doesn't have to get his 35 and 40. But, hey, make no mistake, you know, those big baskets in Kawhi time, you know, that Kawhi time that we watch, they are enormous.
Enjoy your time in Milwaukee tomorrow night, buddy, and we'll do this again soon. We always appreciate you finding time for us.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Survive
yeah.
in Milwaukee. Get yeah, through yeah, Milwaukee yeah. and come home.
Great said by a moron.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rod. Rod's,
bye-bye.
Rod Blacker. Good buddy.
Let's hear the dagger quote.
you know, hey, it's those two guys beside you. They know what it's like to be in a pressure cooker.
I don't understand.
I think
that.
He did that on purpose.
I think time. He might Come have, on. But...
You know, hey, it's those two guys beside you. They know what it's like to be in a pressure cooker.
Just chipping away at me, man. I'm going to come in here like Gary Busey one day.
You represent the NBA as far as the sports media is concerned there in Toronto.
See, and then I hear that, and I'm back.
Good point, Brian.
Yeah. I hear that, and I'm back.
We're going to have Dwayne Casey.
We got to get him on for you.
We got to balance everything
out. We'll leave the room.
Yeah, okay.
We'll leave the room, and you just have your...
Little powwow with
your powwow
with DC.
That's exactly. Good point, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Ray in about 20 minutes. Jerry's percentage is at 5:30. Marcus Stroman versus Alex Cora. We'll tell you about that next. All right. So the Blue Jays got a win last night. Marcus Stroman. Yeah, he pitched pretty well last night, but he was rattling cages because Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, came out and was asked about. Yeah, they were going back and forth. Stroman was going back and forth with their dugout, and it looked as if Cora was yelling at him. Cora claims he was yelling at the umpire, and Cora came out post-game and said, you know, he competes in a certain way and people don't like it. This is nothing new. I don't think a lot of people throughout the league really appreciate the antics of Marcus Stroman, and not just the quick pitching, but, you know, he celebrates and he does his shimmies and all that kind of stuff. Which personally, I don't care if the rest of the league hates you. In fact, I think that's a good thing. Since when in sports do we care about how the opponent feels about anybody?
Just back it up.
Back it up. And as long as your teammates and your team are cool with everything, then who cares what the other guys think? And Stroman, you know, of course, he heard about it. He jumped on Twitter and he's responded. But personally, I don't think this is a good look for Alex Cora. Like, this is usually a manager generally doesn't.
Yeah, you don't talk about it. Like, coach, it's like coaches talking to players, managers talking about players on the opposition.
Players, yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No, I don't think it's a good look for Cora.
I think Stroman is quite thin skinned when it comes to criticism and some of the things that get said. Like, he's a social media guy. He's like
looking
Durant.
For
he
it.
Does.
Yes.
You can tell he searches his name. Mm-hmm. Like, but. In this case, he does battle hard, and I don't like that Cora talked about him. He shouldn't. He should just stay away from talking about other
it's not
teams,
your guy.
Players.
Exactly. Like, if you get asked the question, you can say, listen, I'm not going to get into what happened on the field. We lost tonight. Stroman outperformed our guy.
Yeah.
End of story.
Move on.
But it looks weak on you coming out and complaining. And anyway, we'll pick up on that later on. Ray's coming up. Jerry's percentages at about 5:30. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.